Turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. While you're turning there, I will comment on one of the songs Jennifer led. I appreciated it very much. My wife is in you, my church is in you, my kids are in you, in you, in you. I think that was the words, wasn't it? Praise God. Also, just the scripture says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you feel it?
Yes.
Do you feel the liberty of the Lord today? Glory to God. I feel like I got a breakthrough in my throat there. Amen. I want to talk to you about ascension or ascending, what it means to ascend. And the Bible has many verses and things to say about it. And Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8 have a really good comment. Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend, there's the word, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. All right, so let's just hold on that part. If I ascend up to heaven, God is there. You know, a lot of people wanna go to heaven, but God is there. I'm just thinking. Are you sure you want to go there? And then also, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Now, I don't want to comment on the contrast of these two things, but there is a wonderful reality that we've been sharing on the Thursday night class about these two things, and that the fact is that the Lord is in both places when you understand it at the cross. But my emphasis this morning is not another Thursday night class. It is just to talk to you about ascending and what that means to God and what it should mean to us. Also, if you're still there in Psalm 24. Psalm 24. One good thing about when I preach a lot of times is you get a chance to, you know, finally get in the Bible this week. So I, you know, give you a lot of scriptures. Psalm 24, let's look at verse 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And so we see that there is this thing about ascending that relates to a certain status. Now, most Christians read that status wrong in this verse. Most Christians look at that as if I have to be perfect and sinless and problemless, which, do you know anybody like that? Okay, so there's a deeper meaning to this reality of what ascends and what God has in mind. Now, I also want to give you another scripture, and I want to give you Satan's definition, because you may not know it. Or you may be real familiar with it. I don't know. Isaiah 14. And he's going to use the word at least twice. Isaiah 14. And it uses the name Lucifer here. Most people understand this as being Satan before he fell, apparently right before he fell, or right as he's falling, or right after, but, you know, in that realm and category. I want to look at verse 12 through 14. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. All right, so you begin to get a picture from that of sort of a lot of what people see in ascending, what they see as that reality. But I want to give you God's definition now, or if nothing else, I want to give you the Hebrew definition first, and then we'll look at more clearly. Okay, we're all Christian, so I guess we all assume we're going to ascend. I guess we all assume, I mean, you know. And yet, I don't think we know a whole lot about it. We just know the word that, you know, so it's going to, you know, it's going to be good, you know, because we're going to go to heaven. So I want to give you the Hebrew definition, and it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And we're going to just read one verse here, verse 26. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offerings. All right, so the Hebrew word for to ascend is translated the burnt offering. The burnt offering. Okay. It's the actual word is, we would call it hola, but in Spanish that would be hola, which would mean high, but it's actually usually, and it's the derivative of that, and the derivative that is used now all the time before World War II is the word Holocaust, the word burnt offering. Literally the word Holocaust, Holocaust. But we pronounce the H, Holocaust. And so it's God's word for to ascend up, relating to the burnt offering. And one of the things that you must realize, that every scripture and every verse that begins talking about ascending will have a reference to that happening from off an altar. To ascend, in God's reckoning, is to ascend off of an altar. Okay? Always, all through the scriptures. Now, we're fairly close here. Let's go over to 1 Kings now. Like I said, we'll get lots of scriptures. 1 Kings chapter 1. I'll tell you what. Thank you for the drink. I used to need it just to wash down my... So far, so good. Nice, fresh air back there. First Kings, chapter 1. First, we'll read verse 1. So, 1 Kings 1:1. Now, King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he could not get warm. Now, drop down to verse 5. It's going to mention Adonijah in these verses. And Adonijah was one of the sons of David. And David is old and stricken in years and, you know, well, kind of like me, but anyway, so. And then verse 5, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Because he's seeing that his dad is passing away. Now there's lots of sons, but Adonijah has decided he's going to be the one. And if you don't remember, God had decided someone else, one of the other sons, was going to be king. Do you know who that was?
Solomon.
All right. So let's go ahead and read through verse 5 again, and we'll read 5 through 7. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. I think that probably looked pretty cool. Yeah. For a king. Hey, don't I look like a king? I got, you know, white horses. Doesn't say that, but pulling my chariot and 50 men running in front of me. And his father had not... And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very handsome man, and his mother bore him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, this is Adonijah, and Adonijah conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah. He was the captain of the Lord's host, the captain of the armies, Joab was. And with Abiathar the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. All right. So Joab has been with David all these years and always stood by him, was the captain of his host and all this stuff. But all of a sudden, you know, David's getting old, and Adonijah says, hey, I'll take his place. And he enlists the top man of the military and the top man of the religion to support him. Okay. This is a man of stature, Adonijah, a man born into a wonderful family. But he doesn't know even David's definition of ascending, because David didn't come by this means. He just learned the ways of the world and said, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. So many people, when you think about ascending, you think about going up, you know, going to greater heights. That was actually Satan's definition, was to go to greater heights. I will ascend above the clouds. I will ascend in the mountain of the Lord. Ascend, and the other thing that people do is not just ascend to heaven, but ascend to a throne. I want to go to a throne. That's what Adonijah was doing. I'm going to ascend to a throne. And with that is I'm going to be placed above. All right. So I thought I'd throw this one in just for you who gathered here today. It's back into Psalm, so you can leave your place there in Kings. Back into Psalm, Psalm 75. Psalm 75 and verse 6. Está listo? ¿Está lista? All right. Psalm 75, verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Huh? What? What? It's not going to come from there. It comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. And that includes every form of ascension comes from off an altar. That which ascends is going to ascend off an altar first, and it'll have to go through the altar, not just sit on it. You know, no fire, you know. But, you know, there, you know, many people want or think, even theologically, in terms of ascending without any thought of death, without any thought of the altar, without any thought of fire, without any thought of those things going on. And it is, I'm just going to tell you this right now, it's ingrained within our carnal nature to think that way. If we want something, if we want something better, there's a good chance we'll step on somebody to get there. The last thing that we would think to do if we want something is to go into death so that God would raise us unto Him, raise us unto Him. So there's that in working that was within man from the very beginning. And you can see this over in Genesis chapter 11. Turn there with me, and we're going to look at, anybody know what Genesis 11 is about? The Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 11. Or you could call it Genesis. It was Genesis, Mike. Genesis, and then for Olga, Genesis. Chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, come, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. All right. So the situation here is real simple. They wanted to reach heaven. They're trying to, as it were, get to God. They're, you know, they want to ascend. They want to get higher. They want to get above. They're not asking to be demon possessed so that they can worship Satan. They're going, I want to go above. I want to go in God's direction. Okay? Because, you know, religion will do that to you. Lack of religion. You know, somebody talked about anarchist. It reminded me of a guy who said to me, I'm an atheist. I said, you're an atheist? And he said, yeah. And I said, so you believe in God? And he said, no, I'm an atheist. And I said, so you're an atheist? And he said, what? I had him so turned. Atheist means you're a God. Not everybody got that. That's why I repeated it. It was fun. I was young. I don't know how much Jesus was in it when I did it, but yeah. Okay, so Here's the deal. When ascending, you know, these guys are going, man, let's build something. Let's build something toward heaven. Let's not be just earth dwellers that dwell on the surface. Let's go. Let's go up. Let's go in God's direction. Let's take this coat off. And to get there, they're going to have to build. You see, off the altar, it just happens. It's an automatic. But if you're gonna deny the altar, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to work with slime. Isn't that one of the words it used here? And let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. See, they're going to burn brick, not themselves. You know, in other words, they're going to burn stuff around them, but they're not going to be on that altar. No way. We'll have fire. We just won't apply it to us. And that's the way man thinks, you know. So they're going to build them a means. Folks, they're going to build them a new means of ascension, a new way, not God's way, not the way that had been up to that point or the way it was always God's way. They're literally saying this, let us build a new means of ascension. And all the rest of the guys said, that's a good idea. Because again, it's at least pointing in God's direction, and therefore that makes it holy. And in that, they decided that there would be no altar. No altar. So they set to work. So, why don't we just go ahead and read... let's read the whole thing down to verse 6 again, okay? And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, come, let us build a city, let us build us a city, and the tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be withheld from them which they have imagined to do. All right, there's more to this story, but we're not going to read that now. Before they could really begin to do this thing, they had to have a unified work. They had to be unified in this thing. But to be really unified, something needed to happen. They would all need to speak the same thing. They'd all need to speak the same thing. Okay? Let's all say it the same way. Let's all speak the same thing. Let's all make sure our definitions are the same. Make sure our definitions are the same so that, you know, we can get this thing done. And to do that, they had to agree on two basic things. One, ascension. It would not require an altar. Do you agree with that? Sure. That's, you know, I mean, I'm asking you people that are working, building this. You know, if there's going to be ascension, we're going to have one that doesn't require an altar. And then we're going to also believe together and say it one to another that ascension can happen by human effort. We can ascend based on what we do. Human effort. We'll make this thing happen. We'll do it. (Clears throat) And then you look at their goal. And you know, their goal, I mean, if you look at that, their goal wasn't God, really. It didn't say God. It says, let us build a tower to heaven. Anybody notice the difference between let us go towards God and let us go towards heaven? It's called nominal Christianity. Let's just go to heaven. Let's just die and go to heaven. Let's just work towards going to heaven. I just want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Do you want to go to God? Never thought about it too much. I just want to go to heaven. I understand heaven's going to be nice. Weather's going to be good. You know, people will treat you right. What about you when you get up there? Oh, I'll magically be transformed into a nice person. No, no, that happens at the altar down below. And then you ascend. Anybody catch that? You know, the transformation is really more of an exchange. I am crucified with Christ. I went to the altar. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives where? Up above. No, Christ lives in me. The goal is not first Christ above or heaven. And I'm saying a lot, and I hope Mike's getting this. He did, because he stopped and he's looking at me like, what? We're wanting to believe that there will be this transformation of our being, of our nature, during the ascension. You know, I've used the example before, you know, and I got, where did I get this example? When I was in Bible school, we had a lot more students and stuff, and the students were going, oh man, I want, and it was a, by the way, it was a missionary oriented Bible school, so there was a lot of thought and talk about where you would go as a missionary. And so, you know, this one guy says, man, I want to be a missionary, I want to go so and so place, you know, I want to go to China. And this guy was always late for class, he didn't do his homework, he didn't seek the Lord, he'd fall asleep all the time. He was, you know, but when I get over there, man, I'm going to help build what God wants over there, and I'm going to minister to people, and you know, Deb and I were missionaries. Trust me, at least in our situation, there was almost no leisure time, almost none. We got up real early, and we went to bed real late, and it was constant. But this guy's saying, oh, I'm gonna go over there and I'm gonna be a missionary. As if the plane ride is gonna change him from what he is now to what he's supposed to be when he gets there. The plane ride doesn't change you. The altar changes you from you to him. So there's no need making commitments. Oh, I will be with the Lord. I will ascend to the mission field. I will do this. I will be like Jesus without the altar. Anybody get it? Satan never said, I will die and be burnt to crisp. And then God will raise me up from there. No, 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 I will. So we say the same thing. I'm going to be like Jesus. What do you think about the cross? You know. Isn't it funny that we go like this, saying we use the cross to back them off? You can't use it. You need to look at that thing. You know what I mean? We go, and we're supposed to, everybody else, I run to that. You know, they go like this. I go, yeah, you got it. But are you looking at it, you know? But if they could, they would stretch their arms further so they wouldn't have to face it. The cross is for all. The cross is, no, it's not the end, but it is part of the process. And then in the end, you're conformed to the one who died on the cross and the nature of the one who gives himself completely and constantly. All right. So in this story of the Tower of Babel, immediately you can figure out that there's something wrong, because they're saying, oh, we're going to build a tower to heaven. We're going to go in the direction of heaven. We're going to make a name for ourselves. That's what it said. We're going to make a name for ourselves. Yeah, we'll build stuff for God. We'll build stuff towards God. See, I know what this is all about, because what I came out of, I had such a poor self-image and hurts and wounds and anger and all this kind of stuff going on in me that I thought, after I got saved, I thought, man, finally now people will like me. Finally now, you know, I'll be about something really good, and people will, and I'll, you know, and I'll be good at it, and I'll get a name for myself. You know, serving God and doing everything for God so that it promotes me instead of him. John said it best. He must increase and I must decrease. I didn't know that scripture. And when I would get close, I'd read faster. You must increase. Okay. And, you know. And back then, I don't know what it's like today, but the main thing that you did was you pulled out of the Bible all the precious promises and threw everything else away. You know, it's like, here, oh, here's a good scripture. Just rip it out and stick it in a little box. You know, oh, here's a nice scripture. Rip that out. And, you know, and then once you figured out, you picked all the ones you like, you throw the Bible away. People do it. And they think they're spiritual. You know, it's almost like their horoscope. Notice the way I said it. Horoscope. You know, they have their little precious promise box, and they go, okay, I'm going to pick one today. See what God says. You know, and like, because they're all precious promise, it's a precious promise box, they're all good. They go, oh, you know, I'm going to have a wonderful day. Man, where is Jesus in any of that? Where is the Word of God? Where is the altar? Where is anything that makes anything worth something to the Lord? So, these guys, the Tower of Babel guys, they're going to be busy for something that is toward heaven. And in the process, they believe they're going to make a name for themselves. Says it right here. Now let's read from verse 5 on down now. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this they begin to do now. And now nothing will be withheld from them which they have imagined to do. Come, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. That's the short version for Babylon. See, and immediately, of course, when they couldn't understand one another, they're all just speaking different languages to one another, and going, you know, and they're going, what are you trying to say? And, you know, they just stood there and babbled. That's where it comes from. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth, and from there did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. All right, so, you know, we could just read this and go, you know, so that's where the languages came from. Well, thank the Lord. That that explains that. That's good information. I'm ready to move on. Let me teach me something else really from the Bible. That's not what it's trying to get across, folks. That's where different languages came from. That's not the point at all. All right, so starting in verse 5, the Lord decides that, you know, says, you know, let's go down and check this thing out, okay? That to say let us go down and check it out means the Trinity. Let us go down and check this thing out. And they look at it and God's not pleased. Well, this is good. We're working toward heaven. We mean well. You know, we were taught, work hard for Jesus. You know? The altar sort of stops all that work hard for Jesus stuff, and it puts Christ in you, and he pleases the Father simply by being who he is. But he will do what you cannot do. And if you're really, really going to be aligned with the altar, he will do what you can do, but you refuse to, because you reckon you're dead. And so Christ is all and in all. All right, so in this situation, God comes down, looks, and he says, well, you know, men's hearts are not going to change. Not at that point. Their heart is not going to change. And if their heart's not going to change, their definitions are not going to change. What definition? We can ascend without an altar. We can ascend by human effort. It's not going to change based on that. So the only thing left to do is to confuse their language, which ruins their ability to work together to really do anything, you know, mammoth, if you will. So, now, you got to realize, even though he confused their tongues, they all still think alike, but they can't communicate it. Does that make sense? They all still think alike. They all still have the same definitions. Don't need an altar to ascend. But they can't communicate with one another. And it's caused a dilemma, you know. I wrote, what did that accomplish? It brought an end to their futile building. It brought an end to the vanity of building something for God that God hates. Okay? Now what happens? You can only build so far until people get confused as to the communication. You ever, now think of that. Think of that. Think how many, and some of you are young, so you don't have the experience, but some of us that have been around for a while, we've seen people, I've been a pastor in this town, I don't even know how long, long time. If I go back to being the assistant pastor at Shiloh, I won't tell you how many years. But I remember when Jesus used to play in the dirt. Anyway, sorry. A long time, and here's what I've seen. I have seen, I cannot number how many new churches spring up in this town. And I knew the pastors, and they would say, I'm telling you, they would say, one guy said, we're going to build the biggest church in Denton. And he's going, this is good. That's his goal. We're going to get on our face. We're going to seek the Lord, and we're going to be about Jesus. And no, I'm going to build the biggest building. We're not going to build it up. We're going to build it out. And that guy lasted a year, maybe, because it confuses the tongues. Somebody, you start saying this, then somebody else says, no, I think we should do this. And then you have the board and, you know, and the board starts arguing and then the church breaks up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, I mean, I've been in churches where the deacon board ruled everything, including the pastor. You know, it was deacon possessed. That's not in my notes. It's just what I said to him. All right. So basically you get the idea, but they've got a different language and they're coming at it different ways. The motivation is still the same. In most cases, they want to build a name for themselves. And they're religious, so they want to be about God's thing, but their definitions have totally erased the altar from their way of communicating. So God has confused their language so that there's confusion and division, and eventually they just scatter and go a bunch of different places. All right, let's go to... Let's have a little fun. You ready for a little fun now? Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. How many of you knew I'd eventually come here?
Where is it?
Acts, chapter 2. All right. Let's start at verse 1, and we'll read through verse 12. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these men, these who speak, Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Now get ready, verse 9. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and sojourners of Rome, both Jews and proselytes and Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Wow. All of a sudden, all those languages are coming together. You see how that is? God's bringing them back to one tongue. God's bringing them back to one language, one tongue, one set of definitions. And it says they were gathered from many tongues and many nations and many tribes. And they heard them speak. And the Holy Spirit came down. The Holy Spirit came down. Oh, how significant is that? When the Holy Spirit comes, he begins to speak the wonderful works of God. I know we think that that's talking about miracles Jesus of Nazareth did and this and that. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the cross. The wonder, folks, the wonderful, at this point, there could be some of the people who got healed, who knows? Maybe they're not healed any longer. Maybe some of the people that got raised, maybe they're dead. They will eventually be. It's not permanent, but there's something that's permanent, and it is wonderful. It is the true definitions of God by Christ crucified. And so the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit begins to give them all the same thing in this thing. But that wasn't all. Did you notice? Fire fell from heaven. Uh-oh. Does anybody know where that kind of stuff happens? That was the way God dealt. When they would offer an acceptable sacrifice, fire would come and eat up that. But what would rise? What would ascend? A sweet savor of Christ. Not us, but the sweet savor of Christ. See, the altar is back. The fire is back. Somebody says, I want the fire of God in my church. Watch out, buddy. You know, we need the fire of God. The church has gone lazy. We need people to get excited and start building towers. No, we don't. Because God will just confuse your tongues again, then you're not going to understand. You're not going to get very far in your building. Things will come to division, confusion, and scattering. But here, that fire comes down and it lands on every one of them. That's what it says, that it rested upon all of them. They said, are not these guys Galileans? You know, that's the deal. They're really not Galileans anymore. They're saints. They are family with God. They are of one mind with the Lord. Let this mind be in you. It didn't say think God's thoughts. It didn't say study the scriptures so you can quote God's words. But let this mind, let the mind of selflessness and of having gone through the altar be in you. And another thing that's sort of interesting about this set of scriptures here about the Holy Spirit, when people got the Holy Spirit, it's the only example in the scriptures where when they spoke in other languages. They weren't just babbling. Are you following? They weren't just speaking in tongues, is what most people call speaking in tongues. They weren't just saying. They were literally, the way it sounded was everybody from all, I mean, isn't it interesting they made this whole long list? That all these people are going, oh my God, we understand them. And he goes, do you understand them? And he says, yeah, I'm from Egypt. Where are you from? Well, I'm Arabian. I don't even understand your language, but I understand theirs. Because God's bringing back, he's reversing. The Tower of Babel. He's reversing the Tower of Babel. And he's reversing the confusion and the almost like it sounds like someone's babbling when they're trying to give their side, their opinion, their, you know, well, why don't we just do this? Da 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 da. Well, no, that won't work. No, I think it will. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? We're going to build for God, you know. When we were over there on Maple Street, we, you know, the elders got together and we decided instead of having all the pews straight across where the only person you saw was the preacher and the back of everybody's head. You remember that? We turned the pews in the front sideways and then we left the back one straight so that you could actually see people if they shared. And people got upset with that and left. Yeah. I don't speak that language. And they got scattered. Confusion happened. Because why? The language I was taught is the pews always go straight across. That's the language I was taught. That's the way we serve God. That's the way we get hold of God. You turn the pews, God leaves. And I'm saying, no, we want to see people's faces if they share. We want to know their hearts. We want to feel that we're one in this together. I don't understand that. Yeah. But God had those that are His. A fire had fallen on them from heaven. And it consumed that selfish, I want my way. It has to be my way. My way is the only right way. Consumed all of that. And it gave one language that we could bear witness to. Do you understand? And when we heard someone else speak, we would bear witness and say, that's the Lord. That's the Lord, not just that's a good Christian idea, you know. I mean, you know, someone says, well, I have an idea, and he shared it with me. And I said, well, I'm not sure if that's the Lord. And he said, well, it's scriptural. I said, Judas went and hung himself as scriptural too, but you don't see us running out, you know. I mean, we can get ridiculous with that. It's not just what's the scriptures, folks. It's the living word from this that forms in us and is Christ. Hallelujah. All right, let's see. So the Tower of Babel was reversed. I'm going to just read some of my notes now. Now through the cross, which is the altar, two things happen. We would become consumed by that altar, Romans 6:6, Galatians 2:20, on and on and on. And then the true ascension would rise to God, which is the sweet savor of Christ. That's what the reversal means, coming back to God's definitions. Let me just make sure. So God is bringing man back to the altar of the cross as God's way of building and of ascending. God's way of building and ascending. At Pentecost, God set out to do away with Babel and the spirit of Babylon. Come out from among them. That's what the scriptures tell us. Come out from among them in Babylon. Hallelujah. This is done by giving us a clear voice found in one language so we can have God's definition of ascension and build an altar toward that end, ascension. Build an altar towards that end. Because if you are in tune with the altar, you'll be in tune with the ascension. Guess what? If you're not in tune with the altar, you can forget the subject of ascension. At least in God's definitions. All right. Still glad you came? All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And this is my first ending. I wouldn't get too excited about that. The thought of that. Ephesians 4. Okay, let's look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Okay, that's where most preachers, when they're going to talk in Ephesians 4, starts. Okay? Praise God, I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher, you're a prophet, you're this, you're that. We've got a name for ourselves. You should honor me because I'm a pastor. You should honor me because I'm a prophet. You should honor me. All of it building us up, making us something out of this. All right. But let's look at verse 8 of that same chapter that leads up. Let's look at the scriptures that lead up to verse 11. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Let's qualify that. Next verse, parenthesis. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, prophets. Do you see that? It's saying there has to be a descending. There is no ascension unless we go down into death, unless we go down into the altar. And then what comes up in this case, what it's talking about, is not men, but offices that have the smell of smoke from the altar. You know, it's sad. Some of us, some of us had a drug problem. Both categories. Some of you never did drugs, but you were drugged to church. And therefore, you got a problem because it was never your heart, your relationship with God. And others of us, like me, we did drugs. And to this day, now I haven't smoked since I got born again, but to this day, it doesn't matter where I am, I can smell marijuana if it's close by. I can smell it. So some of you need to know that. And if I hug you like this, and while I'm hugging you, I go, make sure that you... Anyway. But you know what? We can smell the smell of marijuana. We can discern that, but we can't smell the smell of the altar on someone. We can't smell the smell of the smoke of the altar of the death that we went through on some people. You just get someone trying to make a name for themselves. You don't smell that smell of smoke, that smell of the altar. And, you know, the same thing when Turner Falls, and we all go out at night after the gathering, and we're going to make s'mores, and Scott makes a fire thing, and we're all there, and the wind keeps shifting and blows that smoke. You go back, you can smell smoke on the people that were out there. You can tell. You might walk up to somebody and go, "You didn't go to the fire thing?" So, "Oh, you didn't see me out there?" "No, I didn't remember. I just don't smell smoke on you like I do the rest of us, you know." But we can't smell the altar, the smoke, that which consumed us, and that which is Christ who has risen up out of it in us. We just get the feeling somebody wants to make a name for themselves. No death, no altar. They're looking for an ascension. They're one of the folks gathered at the Tower of Babel to build for God, if you want to put it that way. Are y'all willing to just go a little further here?
Yes.
All right. All both of you, huh? Should I just dismiss everybody and leave these two here? All right, Revelation chapter 11. This is talking about the two witnesses. You familiar with these guys?
Yes.
Okay. Well, read your Bibles, folks. For God's sake. Yeah. All right. Revelation 11, starting with verse 7, talking about the two witnesses. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. This is the two guys that were declaring the truth for God, the two witnesses. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, which also where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the peoples and of the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not permit their dead bodies to be put into graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Tormented them with the word of God, with the word of the altar, folks. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them who saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up here. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. All right. So first of all, let's see how fun this is. You're preaching to people who don't want to hear it. They literally kill you. The biggest party of the year happens immediately following that when everybody is just going, yeah, Randy's dead. Woohoo! Yeah, finally. I'm sick of this guy and his junk. I'm sick. I get tired of hearing this same stuff. Yeah! We're not going to hear it anymore. Uh-oh. Then the Spirit of life from God comes in. And the Spirit of life from God comes into him, and they don't just immediately go, they stand up and everybody goes, oh my God, no. They're going to see the beer cans and the mess from the party. And they're going to see they weren't invited. Not only that, but the party was because they were dead. We died. Boom! Then the ascension happens. And their enemies see it and go, wow. There's a lot more here. I can't continue to do this. Yes, comment. That's the part I wasn't going to. Well, there's just so much. I can just, you know, I could wax eloquent. Just teasing. All right. I want to read. You don't have to turn there. I want to read a scripture that we read earlier. And it's out of Psalms. It says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. What is this talking about? It's what's been offered that was without spot or blemish. It's not us, but it's us raised up in the one who is without spot or blemish, ascended up with him. We were raised up and made to sit together in heavenly places, but not in heaven, in heavenly places, in him. We're made to sit in him. All right, I got two more places to go. And we got places to go. John, Gospel of John, chapter 6. Anybody kind of know what John 6 is about? Good. Anybody really know what it's about? Okay, good. Well, basically, it's, you know, this is Jesus talking about the bread of life and everything, and then he's telling them the truth, and we'll get into the truth that he tells them, but here's their reaction, verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. After Jesus shares the things we're about to get into, many Many, not a few, not a certain amount, not many decided they're not going to walk with Jesus anymore. They didn't like what he said. They didn't have the language. It was confusing to them. Can I get an amen? By the way, that's John 6, 6, 6. All right, but we're going to look at verse 62. What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Okay, so he's talking about ascension, but look at what he says next. It is the Spirit that giveth life. He says, what if you see me ascend up? Well, don't think about ascension. It's the Spirit that gives life. Yes. The flesh profiteth nothing. You can build all you want. You can try to make a name for yourself in the name of God. You can use people. You can take advantage of people, gather people, call it God's church, and use them to build your little kingdom. But to God, the flesh profiteth nothing. And then Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They're one language. Okay? And after this, many didn't walk with him anymore and they left Jesus. We don't get it. I don't get this. You speak outside of the box. May I never go into the box. My God. Lord, help us. It's the spirit of this thing that he gives to us that leads to ascension.
Yes.
It is the spirit of reality. It's not reality as taught in words.
Right.
It is not clarity of words. It is not our goal to make everything so clear that people get it, because they might get your terminology, but that's not what we want them to get. We want them to get Jesus. Spirit, the words I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. And after this, many people went, well, I don't get it. I don't get that. That's just weird. You say weird things, Jesus. No, you need to have the fire fall from heaven and the Holy Spirit begin to show you the wonderful things of God.
Yes.
The wonderful things of God, and reverse Babylon in you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
All right, one final scripture, and we're in John. It's John 20. John 20 and verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Rabbi or Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now, I don't claim to know everything about this verse or any other verse. You know, I know a few things. You know, the Lord's shown me some things. But in times past, I have read this and read it like, go tell my brethren that I'm going to go to the Father and he's going to be your Father. He's your Father now. Well, that's true, and that's good stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. That was all I got out of it. Okay, I send to my Father and your Father, and you're in the family, and we're in the family, and we're all in the family, and we're all happy, and don't worry. We're on the ascension side. But when I was studying this thing of the Tower of Babel, And I saw the hearts of men, and I saw my heart apart from Jesus, and I saw your heart, this church's heart apart from Jesus, and I saw all men's heart to build something for God, to heaven, pointed in the right direction, but to get a name for ourselves. It made me question ascension. And that's why I gave you the scriptures that I did at the first. But what I got when I read this was, go tell your brethren, I ascend unto my Father. I'm not ascending to heaven. I'm not ascending to greatness. Not in his heart. God may exalt him. Promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west, but it comes from God. But that's not an issue with him. That's blessed are the pure in heart, and he's certainly that. He's that. And I look at that and I see that. I see that pure heart, and I see he's got one thing on his heart, on his mind. I get to go be with my Father, and we'll talk about his stuff, not, you know, hey, Jesus, I'm glad to be up here in heaven, and thanks for the car you gave me and that money you gave me when I was in a real bind, and thanks for the, you know, he's going to be going, look, the old things have passed away. You know? Be free. Walk with me in what is eternal now. But folks, he wants to do that long before we die. And he wants our hearts now. And in that ascension of wanting to be with the Father, he's not wanting the glory. The glory, you know. We should be wanting his glory, not our own glory. You know, it says to him be glory and power. Folks, we should emphasize in our hearts more his glory and not our power. But many churches, that's what they emphasize, is, well, we have power over the devil, we have this or that, but we give little glory to him because it's really about what we got. It's not about who we're in. When I say I'm in Christ, the Christ that I'm in, it's not that. It is what I get in Christ. Me. Here's what I get in Christ. Here's who I am in Christ. You say, again, well, you're splitting hairs. My God, if I'm splitting hairs, the hair is the size of a red oak. Okay. If this is splitting hairs, it's a heck of a hair. Jesus was unselfish in death, and he's unselfish in resurrection. You see that? I ascend to my Father. He never changes. He's always going to be this way. And God will always exalt him because he will always humble himself. He will be that way by nature and not by, you know, we get in a situation and we go, well, oh, people are going to honor me. I need to be humble. Well, you know, it's the situation. We're in the situation. And then we might be proud about something else because we don't realize anyone's looking at us. What's that old joke? There's this humble man. They decided to honor him, and they had to take the award away because he accepted it. You know, well, you're not humble at all. Give us that. we have moments where we're humbled because we were humbled. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. It didn't say, let things get so bad that you go, okay, you know, I'm a bad person. My God, really? Really? It takes some awful situation for you to realize that. We need the nature of Christ. We need the nature of Christ. And I'll just close with this. Maybe you can just pray for me. But since the conference and what's coming up, even when I'm leaving this weekend, I have dealt with nothing but situations that lack the life and nature of Christ and that had no altar. Therefore, they grew into what they were. Fixing to fly away to another situation. I've been flying away. I will yet be flying away. This is different situations, different cities. Somebody who was on the phone with me from another state, another place, said, well, what all do you have planned so far? What's your next outreach? You know, because usually my newsletter, which, by the way, is going to be late because I'm flying away all the time and you can't even get enough time to write the newsletter. But what's your next outreach? I was very gracious. I didn't say what I wanted to say. But what I wanted to say was, my outreaches are to carnal people who, if they'd let Christ live in them, these situations would not have arisen. But they refuse to do that, or they, you know, we can say we slip up, but everybody slips up, amen? But folks, we're talking about slipping up from the nature of Christ. We're talking about not having stayed the course. We're talking about being some of those that, you know, many of them no longer followed after him. Were they fed by the Lord? Yes. Did he probably heal some of them? Yes. Did they believe that there might be something to this guy? Yes. But the altar, where's the altar? You know, it's all about ascending. It's all about becoming something. And we lift ourselves to such a degree that, bam, God has to do something. And then he does something to bring us down. And then I have to clean up the mess. No, but I mean, I'm going to tell you my true, pure heart. I want to be there, you know, for people. But many times, it's not just being there for people. It's ministering to the ills of carnal Christianity. That's what it is. That's what it's nothing short of that. It's like, if there was no carnal Christianity, that would not be here. That would not be there. That would not be there. But it's found a way to proceed for God without an altar, a devastating altar, a glorious altar, the most glorious altar ever made, Christ crucified. And so I spend time and money and things that I know I could be putting toward building the kingdom that those have to be dealt with. Okay, again, I'm not begrudging that. I'm saying, wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't the world be better if more Jesus was rising? More Jesus. And I got a feeling that I'm going to spend a whole lot of this year. I just got a feeling that I'm going to spend a whole lot of this year traveling, not for conferences, but for dealing with stuff. So I guess the real request isn't just pray for me, but pray for our brothers and sisters. Pray for those that are excited about Jesus but have no altar built. That's big. They have no altar built. And guess what? Then all of this is inevitable. It's just going to happen, isn't it? And then pray for us that those who carry the torch of the message of Christ, who carry it in their heart, the altar and the fire from the altar, you do realize that the incense that burned in the holy place, the altar of incense, the golden altar, the fire that lights the incense that sends Christ up came from the fire that fell from heaven on that altar, and they saved that fire and they use it. They never let it go out. And that's what you, when your walk gets into the holy place and it's right before the Holy of Holies when the veil was rent, guess what's, if you're standing in there, you're seeing the altar of incense, and then you're seeing, even with the veil rent, fire from off of the altar is what lights the golden candlestick. What is used for all the offerings, it is God's fire that puts us away that Christ may come forth and rise as a sweet incense. All right. Let's stand together. Lord, I know that you love us in our failures and when we're flowing with the oneness that we've been given. I know that your love doesn't change. I know that. I know that you are so faithful, Father, to your Son and to building, as it were, your Son in us, building your church in the image of Christ, building your church as a vessel of the life of Christ. Therefore, you never give up and you never falter in your love. But I also know that your deep desire for Christ in us, you would like us to enter in to the tabernacle and that altar be so powerful to us that as we proceed on through the tabernacle, we will see its results and its touch on everything. I know you want our walk to have been birthed out of the flames of that altar. I know that on the day of Pentecost, what most people see in those scriptures is simply the Spirit fell and now we got gifts and powers. But what you saw was you are accepting your Son in those people, that they are now born again, and that fire fell to show that you accept Christ in them now, and that they are to accept the altar and the truth of being crucified with you so that Christ may come forth.
Lord, help us not to be Pentecostals, but dead. Help us to be hungry for your words that are spirit and life, and that you said, what if you saw me ascend up now? Don't you know that it is the spirit that gives life and quickens and brings forth in ascension? So, Father, I just ask you to speak to hearts, not just here, but in the many places that I'll be traveling this year. Lord, may it not just be dealing with issues. May someone among them turn to Jesus, turn to the altar, and become a willing sacrifice that will go there because that's where you brought us in yourself. And they will reckon it so and get on that altar. Father, save us from preaching in a way that allows people to just continue to go with their own mind and their own ways and their own wants while feeling spiritual because they get to hear deep stuff. Help us be like the tribe of Levi that rises up, goes through the multitude, goes through the people, and applies the sword of the Lord. Help us be consecrated like the tribe of Levi, which was the priesthood. All of that tribe were priests, including the high priest. And you say to us that we are priests, and yet we have nothing or little to do with the altar and with the fire that's supposed to be carried on to the other aspects. Help us, Father. I believe that fire is burning in many that are in this congregation now. But help us, Lord, to speak the word in fire, the fire from the altar. And lead us, Lord, to those that are ready. Lord, what may we not just seek warm bodies or supporters, but Lord, those that are ready, those that are given of you, those that come from your nail-scarred hands to us to be discipled. Father, let the Holy Spirit lead them to this place or the place where they're at and lead us to them there. And may every ounce of the altar be good news to them. Good news. Yes. Not I, but Christ. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. There might be one or two that might want to continue to pray, so please be mindful of them. Not be too noisy. God bless you.